Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for today's Teletown Hall on how to afford college. In the next 40 to 60 minutes, we're going to be providing answers to your questions about preparing for college and, most importantly, how to pay for it. My name is Tasha Berner-Horvath, and it's an honor to serve as your State Assembly member for Encinitas, Carlsbad, Oceanside Vista, and Camp Pendleton. I think when I first took office, I never thought I'd be leading during a worldwide pandemic, and since last year, I've really tried to address what is currently on everyone's mind, and these Teletown Halls have become so popular that we've decided to keep doing them after we come out of the pandemic. We've covered topics with experts on COVID-19, providing business tips and resources to keeping kids safe online, to wildfires and disaster preparedness, to important topics like today, how to pay for college. As of October 1st, across the nation, we're going to have hundreds of thousands of students applying for financial aid, searching out colleges, reviewing application processes, and applying, and many will receive acceptance letters. But time and time again, we hear the question that affects so many families. My child got into college, so now how are we going to pay for it? And I think, you know, I remember back when I was applying for college, I don't know if everybody knows this about me, but I actually wanted to be an astronaut. So I was looking at the Air Force Academy. I got into MIT, and I got into Berkeley. And I ended up going to Berkeley because of the affordability of it. And so I know it's really difficult. I remember applying for the financial aid forms. This is back in the day before we had, you know, unsubsidized staff for loans and all the things. So I think we've progressed so much in making college more affordable. But I think in that progression, it's become really complex. So these Teletown Halls, hopefully today and the other ones, will help give my constituents the direct and informative resources that they can trust to help guide them through these complicated times. This afternoon, I'm joined by an expert on today's topic of college readiness and affordability who will be able to help navigate some of the questions and concerns we hear about college and how to pay for it. But first, before we begin, I want to let everyone know how our Teletown Hall works. I know my constituents here in North County have submitted questions that we'll do our best to answer today. And to make sure our panel can be heard by everyone, participants are all in listen mode. If you'd like to ask a question during this town hall, please email assemblymember.bernerhorvath@assembly.ca.gov. That's assemblymember.bernerhorvath@assembly.ca.gov, and we'll do our best to answer them. This town hall is being recorded, and we'll make the recording available on my website and on social media so that you can share it or listen to it again on your at your convenience. So today I've invited an expert speaker from the California Student Opportunity and Access Program. We call it CalSOAP, which has represented the educational community in the state since 1978 in partnership with our UC system, the California system, local nonprofit agencies, and school districts. You may have seen their representatives at college fairs, providing workshops and seminars for students, or maybe even encountered them at your local high schools working directly with your teachers and counselors. Through the college readiness coaching, they provide services in college advising, testing preparation, a variety of free workshops, mentoring students, and providing presentations on multiple topics on the process of preparing for college and understanding admissions policies. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Linda Doughty, our CalSOAP Director for San Diego and Imperial Counties. So, Linda, I want to first thank you for joining us here today, helping us learn a little bit more on how parents and students can be prepared for affording college. Yes, thank you, Linda. And if you could just take a second and introduce yourself, describe a little bit about how your role has maybe shifted during these pandemic times, then touch on some of the main questions and concerns you're hearing from families and students right now. So sorry, that was a long intro, and now, you know, Linda, it's all up to you to educate us about everything we need to know about sending our kids to college.
Okay, thank you, Tasha. For the last 27 years, I've served as director of the California Student Opportunity and Access Program, better known as CalSOAP, whose mission is to inform students and parents about post-secondary options, to inspire and motivate students and families, provide direct services to over 10,000 students annually. So that's a lot of students, right? Both in San Diego and Imperial County. And we're going to look at how they are, we're trying to look at college and career planning preparation. And I'm going to say, yes, CalSTOP works to increase college-going rates, but we are particularly concerned about what has happened during COVID, that many of our families, because of the very nature of sheltering in place or distancing or schools being closed and then partially opened or whatever, that many of our families have been stressed. We dealt with the graduates of 2020. Now we're working with the graduating seniors of 2021. And that fear still never goes away because the class of 2021 feels like they're behind, that you didn't have those touch points or face-to-face conversations and contacts with people. And so we've decided in our program that because of COVID and just the state of what COVID is right now, that we still provide we're doing a hybrid model, which is one which is still doing things virtually online because some parents still do not want to come out in large crowds. And we're also doing face-to-face information with students and parents. And so anything from our financial aid to scholarship to college planning support, CalSTOP is there for you.
And I think it's great. Like, I don't remember CalSTOP when I was going to college, but maybe you guys were all there behind the scenes. So I think it's great for us as parents and me as the assembly member to know about all the services you're providing. So I know we're going to learn a lot of information. So we have students who want to go to college on the line. We have parents whose kids are applying this year. We have some parents. I was talking to a constituent earlier today, and she's like, oh, I'm joining you today. I have a kid that's going in 3 years. So we have a range of people who are interested in today. So I would suggest to all my constituents, get out your pen and paper, and so jot down some things you might want to follow up on. And I just want to say this ahead of time, any links or resources that we talk about today, we will put in the comments so that it's easy to find. So if you miss something, you don't have to worry about it. And again, this will be posted online so you can hear it at your leisure. So, Linda, I'm going to go through the top 10 questions I'm hearing from folks. And you can just answer as much as you want to let people know and tell them where they can find more information. Is that cool?
That's cool.
Okay. So let's start from the beginning. What is high school all about, and how can college entrance enhance a student's future? So I think this is like starting at the beginning. Why should kids go to college?
Here's the thing. I was at a high school today working with students these are high school students who are trying to figure out about college options. And I had to explain to them, we were talking about, I've been to high school, I've been in here 4 years, I still don't know what I want to do. And I tell them that high school is kind of like a preparatory place where young people kind of think about their future success in higher ed and beyond. And we also talk about the fact that the importance of being in high school. And we talked a little bit about the economics of going to college, which is earning more money. We talk about high school being a way to pave ways to colleges and to trade schools or whatever career field you want to be in. We talk about the more information you have post high school, that you can actually have more job options. We talk about the idea of the importance of a high school graduate, that if you try to find a job today, you at minimum is high school graduate. And then you're competing against people who have decided to do more education. We talk about, we're talking about experiencing a lot of unemployment and who is getting hit with unemployment. Those that probably have less education in terms of our options there. We also talk about how high school is not the beginning and the end of your life, that we really want you to grow as an individual and to grow, kind of have some introspection about yourself and some hopes and some dreams. And also for those kids that we were talking to who were thinking about just going to the military, I said, well, the military is a man. that you have a minimum of a high school diploma or GED. And still, there's you can fast-pace yourself if you have more education. And finally, I was telling kids this, what are you going to do after high school? Many of our kids said, I don't know. I said, you have to do something. So I'm talking to the class of 2022. I'd hate for you to wake up like some of my students. I also do summer melt, and some of these students are talking to me in August about their plans for September. So I don't want you to think that you want to leave it too late, but having these conversations about where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where are your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations? And so that's what we've been talking to kids about, and that's what high school to me is about. It's about setting yourself up for your future.
I think that's a great, real way to talk to high schoolers about what does college mean. I think there are some kids, they grow up with the expectation they're going to go to college, and then they find out about trade programs or the military, and they feel like that's better for them. And I like how you're saying, framing it like high school isn't the end-all and be-all. I feel like a lot of people feel that way, but high school is really paving your way to the next thing that you're going to do, and here are some options. And think about it earlier rather than later. I think those are all great ways, great advice to give to students these days. So when we think about, for the people, you know, because there's lots of career options, right? You could go into the military, but as you said, you need a GED or a high school diploma as a minimum qualification. You can go into trade programs, but they also require a GED or high school diploma. And then you have college. So when people are thinking about their plans for their lives, and they're thinking about college, can you say and tell folks why you think completing the FAFSA, what is the FAFSA, first of all, and what is the DREAM Act, and why are they important to folks here in North County?
Okay. First of all, both the FAFSA, which FAFSA stands for Free Application for Federal Student Aid, and when you talk about the DREAM Act, they talk about the California DREAM Act, are important because these forms help you receive financial support to go on into college or university. While the FAFSA, in the FAFSA, you can receive state and federal aid. And with the DREAM Act, California DREAM Act, you only can receive state aid, but you also can be able to. If you're here for 3 years in California high school, and if you don't have a Social Security number, that you can pay in-state tuition. If you know anything about California, anyone who comes from out of state, especially on tuition, that tuition is doubled, especially if you're going to go to a California school. And completing either the FAFSA or the CATA is the single most important step that helps you get that financial aid. If you don't complete them, how do people know that you need money? That's what I tell my students. If you don't complete it, if you don't complete the process of filling out those financial aids, no one knows if you need money or not. So that's the first step, is you've got to really complete the financial aid form. And this gives you opportunities or entrees into different types of financial aid. And financial aid, if you want to go to community college, you can't do the promise, which is guaranteed of tuition there or fees there without doing a FAFSA or a DREAM Act. And some scholarships now, more scholarships than not, are asking you to complete the FAFSA or the CATA.
Well, and that's super interesting, Linda, because I know when I was applying to college, this was like many decades ago, you weren't required to complete the FAFSA in order to get scholarships. So that's very interesting for folks, I think, to know that some scholarships are requiring you to complete FAFSA. And just to repeat, the California DREAM Act, or the CATA, as you were saying, that just requires you to have completed 3 years of high school in California, and whether or not you have a Social Security number, you can fill that out and apply for in-state tuition at any one of our amazing public institutions. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So that's super important, I think, for folks here to know. So I had a question from a constituent, and they said, should every student and family complete the FAFSA or the CADA? Should everybody just automatically do it?
Well, I you know, because, you know, there are some of us out there who believe that we don't need to fill out another form. But I'm telling everybody that's on the line today is, yes, we are encouraging every senior, anybody who's thinking about, doesn't have to be a high school senior, anybody who's thinking about going to college, that the FAFSA and DREAM Act, first of all, they're free. It doesn't cost you any money to complete it. It may take a little time to complete, but if you're organized, that you can do this very easily. It also is the idea of, I call it collective minds in your household, because I know that both the CADA and the FAFSA requires a student and at least one parent to be able to complete this form. So there's what's called the family contribution line. And doing the application will let you know what to expect. And I'm trying to explain to our young people at my school today, you need to do it early. The earlier you complete it, the more idea you have about where your financial aid, what does it look like in terms of you, what monies you might receive. They'll start with the federal, which is a Pell Grant, and then later on, you know, you'll be notified by the California Student Aid Commission if you are available for some of their money. So, yes. And you know what I said? It's like everything else. If you just apply, there's no harm, no foul in doing that.
I like thinking about this way for our families, maybe who weren't like me and didn't go to college. Both my parents were the first people in their families to go to college, and they didn't have the option of the FAFSA back then. They both worked their way through schools and got scholarships, as did I, in fact. But the FAFSA and the CADA, they're both free to complete. Everybody should complete them, and that helps you get an idea of what financial support you can expect both from the federal and the state level in completing your college. So when we think about it, it kind of gives us an idea of what our budget would be in going to college. Is that a good way to think about it?
I believe it is. I also do home visits, and most of my home visits this time of year are parent and students trying to decide what colleges they're going to be applying to. And the most interesting thing is our students tend to think that they can go anywhere, which is true, and some can really go there, but they never consider the cost and the impact it may have on the family on the back end. So I've been doing a lot of mediation between families, looking at what's affordable, what they think is not affordable, and that's why I'm encouraging families just to complete the FAFSA, complete the CADA, so you can have a make decisions based on kind of what you know.
And I think that's a great way to think about it, because I always tell my children how expensive it was, because I worked three jobs all the way through college. I did get some loans. I did get some aid, but didn't get a lot. And so, and college is even now more unaffordable, and that's an entire different telethon hall about how do we make college, the cost of college more affordable. But this is really about how do we, given the current system, how do we afford it? So if people want you to come into their at home, Linda, or they want to get some more assistance in completing the financial aid processes, what should they do? Where should they go start looking?
There's several things they can do. If you are still in the high schools, first of all, my suggestion is you work with your high school counselor. Those are the school districts, I call them the watchdogs, to make sure, because they know your complete profile. They know the classes that you've taken, where you might be eligible to apply. You see them every day. They often are your recommenders on applications and things like that. So, yes, start with the high school counselor. We also say that programs like mine, CalSOAP, I have parents, North County, Imperial County, even in central San Diego, who will send me a message or send me an email asking me could they have a personal Zoom meeting with me, which is very personal and confidential. And we have conversations about the college process or where are we in this process. Also, I have what's called college readiness coaches, not as many up north, but we, in your area particularly, are working on what's called cash for colleges, where you would come in, for parents coming in with their student on a Saturday, and what you do is you're able to get one-on-one support in completing it. And we bring in some of our great partners like the University of California, San Diego's Financial Aid, San Diego State, the community colleges, some of our federal partners. And what they do is they sit with you and they really have an opportunity just to, I like to say, chit-chat. We're there to listen, but we're also to say, what, you know, they're asking questions about what do I put here? I don't understand this. And sometimes the question's not that difficult, but sometimes you have so many papers sitting in front of you, you don't know where to put stuff. So, yes, there is plenty of support in North County and in San Diego County.
I think that's great for people to know. I know my dad had a small business when I was applying, and I remember having a huge argument with him about what number we put on what line of the student aid application back then. So I think people, it's great to know that you do have college readiness coaches. You can go to Cal SOAP and get a one-on-one Zoom meeting with you, Linda. Mm-hmm. But the first place mm-hmm. that folks should go is their counselor, because they probably know the student best. So I think
they're doing workshops. Most schools right now, and I've been in a couple, as of October 1, have been having FAFSA and California Dream Act workshops. One school does it at lunch. Some schools do it during class time in certain classes, like the social studies or the economics or the government classes. Some are doing it on weekends. Some have drop-in services where parents who need to have somebody to help them actually have created places in the school where parents can go and use computers to complete this process. So there is a lot of support out there.
And that's great to know, because I think not everybody, you know, I think we forget that not everybody has access to a computer at home or knows how to fill it out. So that's super helpful. So for those listening on the call, could you go through what are the different types of financial aid, and is there a way to compare costs of various college options? And mm-hmm. then I have a second question onto that about scholarships. So why don't we stick first to the what are the different types of financial aid out there? Because I remember when I was applying, I thought I was like, what's a Pell Grant? What's this grant? What's a subsidized Stafford? What's an unsubsidized mm-hmm. Stafford? And I don't even know if those things are out there anymore. but, you know, if you could go through what kind of financial aid is out there and what's the best way for families to start thinking about the cost comparison between different college options.
Okay. First of all, California is very lucky to have a government or governors who thinks a lot about financial aid. And in the state of California, we have the California Student Aid Commission, which is the principal state agency responsible for administering financial aid programs for students attending public and private universities, colleges, and even vocational schools. So there is one unit that is responsible for definitely disseminating California money. And what their mission is to make college education beyond high school financially accessible to all Californians. You know, we always think about the high school senior who needs financial aid. But, you know, I think about some of the parents who also I work with who may not have decided to go to college even after high school. And you're eligible for financial aid, so that's the good news. Let me talk about the different types of financial aid. In the state of California, you have, under the California Student Aid Commission, they administer the Cal Grant, and it's a specific financial aid allocation that you don't need to pay back. So anytime we talk about grants, you really want to, those are the money you never have to pay back. And what you do is you have to apply for this particular Cal Grant money simply by just completing the FAFSA or the CATA. I have many calls that people call me and ask me, where's the special form for Cal Grant? I said, there is no special form. All you have to do is just complete the FAFSA or the CATA by the deadline. And each year in California, it's March 2nd. And I tell my students who are trying to figure out what they can afford, you don't need to wait till March 2nd. Do it as soon as possible. And these are for students attending the UC, the CSU, the community college, or qualifying independent and career colleges and technical schools in California. And so they are interesting how they do that. And these are for undergraduate degrees, vocational or career training also. And, again, you don't need to pay back this money. And the Cal grants can be in many different ways. It could be Cal Grant A, Cal Grant B, Cal Grant C. And you really don't need to know which one you qualify for. You just want to know, am I eligible for a general Cal Grant? And what they do is some are for low-income students, and some of this money is for entitlement. One thing that your high school has worked in conjunction with California Student Aid Commission, they have uploaded, unless you have opted out, all the high school seniors' GPAs have been uploaded to the California Student Aid Commission. And what they do is that's how they determine what the entitlement, who's eligible for a Cal Grant, okay, in that, for the entitlement. So that you can go, you know, just depends. But some of the money that's part of the Cal Grant is for low income. You can go all the way down to a 2.0 and receive a Cal Grant. So it's kind of a hodgepodge, but it gives students at a different perspective kind of some money they can do. Each one of these, of course, is based upon your financial situation. That's why you have to submit to the federal government your FAFSA, and the federal processor sends that money back to information back to California, where they're able to assess if you are eligible for a Cal Grant. And again, that's one of it. For those that make $191,000 or below, you can be eligible for the middle class scholarship. And those are for undergraduate students. And the good thing about that is these are if you attend a UC or a CSU. And also, I just wanted to let you know that if you are a foster youth, there is, besides the FAFSA or the CATA, you must also do a separate application for the Chafee Grant for Foster Youth. And that program is available anybody, any student or applicant who is in or was in the foster care between the ages of 16 to 18 years old. And that gives you an opportunity to qualify for $5,000 a year for career and technical training. And I want to address some of the other things you talked about, Tasha. One is, what other funding is there out there? I know people don't like my four-letter word, loan. I remember when my daughter went to college and I happened not to be eligible for a Cal Grant, but my daughter had done what she was supposed to do. And I had to take out a Parent PLUS loan. And I said to myself, ooh, that's a lot of money. But at the end of the day, I had to come to the idea that if I don't help my child at the age of 18, what is it going to look like at the age of 35? I didn't want my child struggling at the age of 35. So I went on and took out a Parent PLUS loan. Students can also take out a loan for themselves. It's called Student Subsidized Loan. That means they pay the interest on the loan while your student is going to school, or you can get a student unsubsidized loan where while your student is in school, the interest is kind of ticking along. I want to say with both of these types of loan, both the Parent Plus and the student subsidized, unsubsidized, very low interest rate. So that's why I believe that that's a better route to go over private loans, because private loans can be very costly when it turns about interest. I also have told parents, if you're younger, if your child's not a senior, or if you've been one of those fortunate parents of 529 plan, you could start literally saving for your child. My parents, for example, started the 529 when my daughter was born. And they would take a little bit of money every month, and it would go into that fund. So by the time my daughter went to college, she had a nice little fund. It was hefty, but it wasn't to pay totally, but it helped defray some of the costs of college. Then also I want to say that that's the state money, right? But you also can talk about the federal money. The federal, and the federal tends to be more about social economics, low income. They have a very low ceiling in assets, much lower than the state of California. Whereas you can get a Cal Grant and your parents can have a family of four making $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000 and can get a Cal Grant. The federal is a little bit more stricter, but they have federal Pell Grants. They also have subsidized Stanford loan. Yes, Tasha, they still have that. They have federal supplemental educational opportunity grants. They have federal work study. I have students that actually work for me who are college students. That's where my college readiness coaches are. College students who want to give back. But I pay these guys $16 and $17 an hour to work, to work with other students. So that's it, work study. And then we also have the Perkins loan. So there's quite a plethora of money that can occur out there. Here's the thing. You have to dig deep. Dig deep. Now let me talk a little bit about scholarships. My daughter, because of how much money I made, I think I made that much money. We all say that because we live in California, right? I believe, you know, I decided that my daughter needed, you know, she wanted to go out of state, which is fine, but in order to go out of state, she had to help herself. So my daughter went through the process of going through solid scholarship search. And scholarships are interesting because people say, well, I applied to one or two scholarships. I didn't get it. And I tell my students, you've got to apply to multiple, many different ways. If you go to your high school counselors, they are getting scholarship information each and every day. And one of the things I'm trying to teach my students to be is to be assertive, a little bit more assertive than they have. They think that someone's going to call them out and offer them money. I said, you need to go in there and talk to your counselor and say, I believe you're getting scholarships each and every day. Can you at least call me and let me know if a scholarship sounds like I might be able to get it? So scholarships are something that I advocate tremendously. And when I advocate that, I mean I am working with the San Diego Foundation. Now, we've teamed up to do 3 informational sessions on scholarship search, where to find them, what types of scholarships, how to put them together, so that because it's a process of once you've done one or two, it's easier to do the rest of them. It's just the first one or two that you're trying to figure it out, how to do an essay, the types of scholarship, who gives the scholarship. That's one of the things that we talk about, and we talk about the fact that scholarships are given by the federal government. It's given by private industry, such as, I can tell you, my daughter received the Amtrak Award scholarship. She received she was a national winner of the, my insurance company. of my insurance company award, right? She also was a winner of Essence Time Warner Award. Imagine a $10,000 check shows up in your mailbox because she's applied, right? And so, those are some of the success stories. But for every success story of what I got, my daughter got, there are some where I can't believe it. Even the federal government, if you're a federal employee, they have a FEA, F-E-E-A scholarship. And what they do is they give federal employees' children that. Check with your job. Have your children that are working like at McDonald's. There are scholarships out there. So those are the kind of things that will help you to think strategically about how you're going to fund your college education.
Wow, that was a lot of information, Linda. I'm going to try to summarize it. So at the state level, we have Cal Grants. So Cal Grants, that's free money. All you have to do is do the FAFSA or the CADA, and you will be, apply for the Cal Grants. Free money. There are parent loans, and you were talking about is the cost of helping your kid now versus helping them when they're 35. That's a very valid point I hadn't thought about. There's subsidized and unsubsidized student loans. The Stanford loans are apparently still around. And I think this is – you hit on this point. I think it might have gotten buried in the whole thing. But the 529 savings accounts for college, and we should – every one of us parents should be putting whatever we can into that savings account so that there's a little bit of help there when our kids go to college. There's a whole bunch of money from the federal government. Actually, when you said work-study programs, I remember doing work-study when I was in college and grad school, and I was thrilled to earn – I think I was earning $8 an hour when the minimum wage was still $4.25. And I thought that was like same amount of hours, twice as much money. I get a type instead of, serving at a restaurant. So, I remember those. So it's good to know that those are still around. There's Perkin loans, but there are Pell Grants. There's a whole bunch of federal money. And then scholarships. And I think this is really important for any of our high schoolers who are listening. No one's going to come and offer you a scholarship. You have to go out and apply for the scholarship, and there are scholarships for everything. My mom is a teacher. I remember getting a $500 check from the Teachers Association as a scholarship, and that helped me put food on the table for a couple months. It was really important for me. And so scholarships, we have to go after. You're doing 3 info sessions with the San Diego Foundation. Please let me know, Linda. We'll make sure we amplify them over our social media so our constituents can be a part of those too.
So there's lots of stuff out there. The first three are virtual. They're all virtual, so that's good.
They're all virtual. That's the one thing we learned from the pandemic is we could do everything virtually, and that's really convenient for people who are remote and maybe can't drive down to San Diego or can't get to somewhere physically to be a part of it. So there's lots of resources out there. The first rule is to fill out the FAFSA or the CADA, because otherwise the rest of that doesn't really happen, correct?
Correct. Very correct.
Okay.
And I want to say one more thing to parents.
Sure.
And students. I do, I'm trying to train students to think of the one-third, one-third, one-third rule. Every time you get birthday money, Christmas money, take a third of it. You can do whatever you want to do with it, right? Another third needs to go into a savings because there's some things that happen that you need money and maybe you don't have the parents don't have the money, right? In a savings account. And one third needs to be your college fund. And that's what I call my one third, one third, one third rule. Because
I wish somebody would have taught me that when I was in high school.
Well, I see too many kids. Their shoes, $300 tennis shoes, right? And I have to go, and then you're asking me. Does that make sense? Then you're asking, I need money for college, and I want to say, what did you do? College is, this is a family affair, I tell people. Now, we have to think strategically about, I know you want to do all this, but let's think about what is going to help you the most at the end of the process.
I think that's just such a great way to think about all of this. I want to touch back on scholarships real quick, because I think you covered really well the fact that you have to go out for it. There are non-traditional sources of scholarships. Once you do one or two and you have everything together for the one and two, 4, 5, and 6 become easier. What are some of the things that you think students and families should be preparing to apply for scholarships? I know I had to have letters of recommendation, personal statements, know the deadlines. I remember there was one great scholarship that I totally would have gotten, but I didn't have it on my radar, and I didn't qualify for it the first year. What are some of the things that you think people should be keeping in mind now for those scholarships?
First of all, scholarships are based upon what the donor wants, right? And I'm telling students, I see more donors asking about extracurricular activities and community service. A lot of the questions are centered around what are you doing to give back or how are you trying to improve yourself, okay? So that's the first thing. Make sure your students are involved in something. They have to be able to show something on paper, right? Even applications, even the UC application, and some of these applications are asking you about what have you been involved in, right? Because that only strengthens your application all the time. The second thing is I tell students you need to make sure that you have current transcripts in your possession. I always say have 3 current transcripts. 2 should be official, and 1 should be one that you made it unofficial by opening up so that you could see what your GPA is. Because I don't want people wasting time doing scholarships unless they have a 50-50 chance of getting that scholarship. And finally, I tell people that you've got to get out there and you've got to learn to network with other people. Figure out. Ask questions. I know that that there's tons of scholarships out there in your community. Again, networking with your teachers, using your time wisely. I have some students that have free periods, right? And I was out of school today, and I'm saying, so what are you doing with your free? I'm on my phone. I'm on this. I said, you need to be applying for scholarships. Figure out what you can do because your time, especially in your senior year, is so precious, like it's a whole lot, but we waste a lot of time. So setting aside very specific time and hours that I'm going to work on the scholarship. And for parents, you are like the, you're like the person who is the, you're keeping them organized. You're the organizer, putting things in the proper places. I mean, even my own daughter, we've had scholarships that we've applied for way back at this time of the year, and the scholarship provider doesn't call you to March. And my daughter at one point had told a scholar, I didn't apply for that. And come to find out, she did apply. So I'm just telling you, keep all things organized. Make sure that you have great email and that you don't use your school email, but that you use an email, regardless if you're there or not, that you can get your email, and make sure you have good cell phone numbers.
So I think that's good. So if it were me now, I would have an Excel sheet as saying I applied for this, but you could probably write it out too, saying I applied for this scholarship on this date. Here's the contact person. Mm-hmm. Here's the email to follow up. And then also making sure that you have an email address that you check regularly that's professional. Mm-hmm. And also that your cell phone number or whatever your contact number is valid in case they call for an interview. Some scholarships I remember back then required an interview and they would call you up. I don't know if they probably text you now, but used to call me up before we had cell phones. So that's all really helpful. And I like how you describe the parental role as being helping with the organization, that the work is done by the student, but we just help them mm-hmm. keep organized because that's something I think, you know, I think I noticed it with I have a 9th grader in high school and a 5th grader. But I noticed during the pandemic, you know, you could clearly see the organization skills still need to be developed, you know, mm-hmm. and they're not adults yet. So they're on their way. Hopefully they're well on their way, but to have that role. So I think that's great. You know, we've emphasized so much on this call the need to apply for FAFSA and CADA. What do you think keeps students and families from completing it? Because it seems to be like the linchpin of college applications. You have your applications, but until you do the FAFSA or the CATA, you don't really know what your financial ability is to pay for college. So it seems like that's the first thing you would do. What do you think prohibits people or gets in their way of completing it?
Well, here's having been doing this for like 27 years, I've got my top list. I have people who think they don't qualify. They think that they make too much money or too little money, that they're never going to be, you know, they can't help their kid, right? So that's the first thing. They say they can't afford it, right? I have students that have, they said, but I've already got my money set aside for my child to go to college, right? But there's nothing like additional money because, you know, cost of college is going up and up and up. And, you know, you may have it the first 2 years, but you have to think, what am I going to do with the last 2 years of college? So we tell people, apply, right? So some of my, because we're in San Diego, they have military benefits. And I said, yes, but you can get more money if you apply for the FAFSA and the DREAM Act, that there's more money you can get, right? Students complete their portion. The parents do not. This, it takes two, is what the FAFSA and the CATA. You have to, if your child is deemed dependent on you, a parent, right? One parent must do their part, must fill out, must get a FAFSA ID. They must get. They must give up their taxes because now things are being uploaded into the FAFSA form online, and they got to be willing to sign. This does not obligate you to take any money. It just says it puts you in the system. Then you and the school where your child is going to finally accept, you're going to have to work out how much it's going to cost, right? I have students that told me they didn't know about the FAFSA. And I know we've been advertising this for October 1, but I don't think we're not using enough social media. I don't know, TikTok, I don't know. We're missing something here. The students that they don't know about it. Or, you know, like I've done presentations before, and students have turned around, and 5 minutes later they said, what were you talking about? They're not listening, okay? Some people do not want to take out a loan. Granted, but you better be working on scholarships then. If you don't want to take out a loan, I tell students, work on scholarships. And some people just have a philosophy that children, you're 18, you're out the house. And we know in the land of financial aid, students are dependent on you to the age of 24, unless you are a guardian or you're not supposed to be filling out the FAFSA at all. They want the parent. So that's what I think, Tasha.
Got it. Okay. So I believe the legislature has passed AB 182 that requires all high school students to complete the FAFSA. Mm-hmm. Could you describe what you think the impact on high school seniors and families will be as they go through the financial aid program this year and next year?
Okay. I'm working with one school in particular. I've kind of adopted the school. And the school has, first of all, they are creating what you call target list. They've already called in every senior in the senior class. And they're trying to get a sense of, are you going to have difficulty filling out the FAFSA? And so that's number one. What is that? It's kind of changed the mindset. Before, when students didn't fill out a FAFSA, oh, well, students didn't fill out a FAFSA. That's their loss. Now it's not like that. Schools are going to be held accountable for accounting for every high school senior to complete the financial aid application or at least an opt-out option. We have to know why students opted out. It's just like I'm opting out. You're going to have to tell us why you're opting out. Also, one thing is that we're learning is that this is going to impact how much time it's spent on financial aid. They have labs and at lunchtime, preschool labs, after school, weekend lefts. So you're going to see more of those happening in your high schools. I always tell people, check with your high schools. Ask them, what are you doing at our school to make sure that every student has an opportunity to fill out financial aid?
And I think that's great. I mean, I think it's, you know, we have, you know, I think some schools do it better than others. And when you look across the state, you see those gaps, and we want to make sure we're closing those gaps. Is there anything specific, Linda, and this is probably our final question, is there anything specific you think veterans or veteran families, military families, should know about FAFSA or the college affordability?
First of all, my daughter is under the veteran plan when she went to school. And the one thing is, if you are a veteran and you are planning on using the veteran plan, you need to work on that process now. There are some hoops you have to go through, some paperwork you have to do, but you need to get it done as early as possible to make sure, A, that all your paperwork, especially the veterans' paperwork, is lined up, and so that they don't miss out. There's nothing worse than running around in April, May, and June trying to get this stuff done. So that's one of the things I caution you about. The second thing is making sure that that your students keep up their grades and make sure that they're going to use it. Sometimes we run around and do all this work, and your student is going, yeah, I don't think I want to use it. Just making sure that you're having those serious conversations with your child about what are your plans for fall 2022. Because I think sometimes we as parents want so much for our child, and then we're not on the same page. So making sure that that's done.
I think that's really good. You know, I think, and that's a great theme for closing out, because so much of this, as you've said, with FAFSA and college affordability and loans and scholarships, do require the role of the parent, or at least one parent. And remembering that the role of the parent is also not only what we want for our children, but, you know, making sure that we're in tune with what our kids want. So as we come to the close of our Teletown Hall, Linda, I'd like to invite you to make some final remarks, any tips, anything we left out, anything people come to you with and we haven't asked today, and any other resources you think folks need to know about as they go through this process of applying to college and paying for it.
One of the things that our last my closing remarks is this. You need October 1 open the financial aid window for the Cal Grants. It opens all the financial aid windows. But in particular, if you are trying to get money for California, there is a deadline of March 2nd. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I don't want you to get confused by all of the different financial aid award letters. I will be offering in the spring how to read your financial aid award letters, apples to apples and oranges to oranges. Sometimes people turn down really good financial aid because they didn't understand what it meant. So those are my final remarks, and if you want to come to the scholarship, I'll definitely send it to you, Tasha, and your team.
Please put it to us and our team. We'd love to amplify that. I think, you know, make sure that you understand what you're getting into. I think it's really scary for people who, you know, like myself, who went to college and paid for it, to, you know, take on that burden and know that somehow I'm going to make it work. I know I had college classmates who weren't able to make it work, so it's kind of scary. So being able to understand that and feel reassured, I think, is super important. Linda, thank you again today for joining us. And all the participants who are listening to learn more about how to afford college. I know we're more informed after today's discussion and can take away helpful tips and advice that we can share with our families and friends and maybe our school counselors. There's no doubt that my constituents will have many more questions, so we'll definitely provide your contact info to those who are interested in learning more. As always, my office is here to assist and welcome your questions, comments, and concerns. My goal is always to provide the highest quality of public service on state-related matters. If you have any questions that you think of later that were not asked today, please email my staff, or you can call my office at 760-434-7605. My website is www.a76.asmdc.org. That's a76.asmdc.org. You can look for under the podcast tab under my newsroom for the archive of this recorded town hall, along with many other recorded topics and all the resources you heard today. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Enjoy your evening and stay safe, North County.